Welcome to the Fantasy Football Foursome. The Foursome answer your questions about players to pick up, players to drop, weekly matchups, injury reports, and current trends in fantasy football. Now, here's the host of the Fantasy Football Foursome, John Jennings.
Good Saturday morning. Welcome to week 12 of the NFL season. It is time for another edition of the Fantasy Football Foursome. This show is brought to you in part by our friends over at Giovanni's Pizza of Wilmer. And for the next hour, we're going to be talking all things NFL Week 12. Our goal, as always, is to help you win your league. And if you want some help from us, shoot us a text on that Car Shop Inc. text line, 320-235-9094. We will do our best to help you. Let's introduce who's on the show. How's your Loon Fantasy Football League going? Lyle, you're first.
This is your maybe last chance to be the defending Loon champion talking. It's been rough. 1 point loss to Eric. And I think I need 3 straight wins and a miracle to make the playoffs. But we'll give it a go. We got to start with one.
Jack.
Well, I'll tell you what. Week 11, I had a 2 or 3% chance of making the playoffs. And after posting a solid 55 fantasy points with players such as Ray Davis getting me 1, Mike Williams at 0, Tucker Kraft at 0, Ricky Pearsall at 0, all the while having Brian Thomas Jr. on the bench at 13, I would have won that week because my opponent put up 58
points. Yep.
So, I mean, you know, when you put up 58 and you win, that's saying something. So I'm at 3-8. I've got a 1% chance to make the playoffs. I'm all about chipping a chair, chipping a prayer, baby. So next week I'll be eliminated. But this week I'm still in the playoff hunt, and that's the way I'm going to continue to look at it.
I made a trade, which never happens normally, and got myself some Puka Nacua. Had to give up J.K. Dobbins. I think that was okay for both sides. Put a little Anthony Richardson in because I had to last week, and picked up and started Taysom Hill last week. Got 167 on the board, and so that went well. I'm not sure where I'm at. I'm still second in the standings behind Carter, but just one game back, and still feeling pretty good about my Loon squad.
Yeah, but you're locked in. You're locked into the playoffs, though.
97% chance.
I think you're pretty well set, so.
Strong running back core, too. I think you had the – when you have Montgomery, Alvin Kamara, and Aaron Jones, and you know, J.K. Dobbins, and sure, you can drop one of those guys. I drafted so poorly.
I might have to check back on the audio because I think I ate a plate of you-know-what for drafting J.K. Dobbins. But we'll get to that audio sometime later on anyway. On the show, of course, we will have our start sit for week 12. Free agents you should be shooting for in the United States Marine Corps waiver wire warriors, daily fantasy plays. But let's talk about the injury report for week 12. We've got 6 teams on bye. Thank you very much, NFL, for that. Brock Purdy hits the injury report, limited in practice. Like, they had to pull him, I think, Wednesday because he couldn't throw. I think he had more of a practice on Thursday. He's a guy you're going to want to keep an eye on. Big matchup between the 49ers and Green Bay this week. Sam Darnold from the Vikings is on the injury report with a foot. It looks mild. DeAndre Swift, Tajay Spears, Raheem Mostert, all coming up on the injury report. Shocker that Raheem Mostert is on there. DeAndre Swift is a little more troubling, but they're giving him some practice reps. Zamir White and Alexander Mattison, they're trending. People are thinking neither one of them are going to play. I hope you've got better options than that. We'll talk to you more about that on the waiver wire portion of this show. As far as wide receivers, who showed up this week? Well, CeeDee Lamb, he's been banged up all season long, it seems like. I'm looking, most of these guys are on bye this week that are showing up on there. Calvin Ridley, keep an eye out for him. Ladd McConkey, shoulder injury. He'll probably suit up for sure. As far as the tight ends go, we've got Jake Ferguson with a concussion, more than likely out again this week. Foster Moreau, the Saints are on bye this week. And that's about it. It's a pretty, as far as new guys showing up on the report, it's pretty light this week. But keep an eye out tomorrow, of course, for the injury report. We had Thursday football, and It didn't disappoint, Lyle. Browns and Steelers.
Yeah, the weather turned a bit blustery, and Jameis Winston turned in a classic. I mean, he tried to give the thing away. Seemed like he maybe did with about 4 minutes left, and the 15-yard punt by the Steelers kicker set him up for a little vindication. So the Browns fans got to celebrate one tremendous win out of their three for the season, and I'm sure it's like beating the Packers if you're a Viking fan. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Steelers-Browns thing, that's been going on for a while, so I'm sure they had a pretty good night in Cleveland last night.
Jack, does this do anything? I mean, people were very high after Week 11 on the Steelers. Just kind of a blip in the radar or something to be concerned about?
Blip in the radar. I think Cleveland came in with a bunch of momentum in a home game. I mean, the whole atmosphere looked like I wanted to be there. It looked amazing. I think if the Steelers had used Fields a little more and kept the ground game going a little more, they didn't switch the game plan too much, I think they would have easily won that game. So I think it's a blip in the radar. I think the Steelers are for real. But it was nice to see Jameis Winston. Winston washed the Watson right out of the Cleveland Browns' mouths, and now they can move forward with something healthy and happy. And, you know, a quarterback that doesn't have 42 sexual assault charges against them. And it's fun to watch. It's fun to watch the Browns be good.
I would agree with that. I loved they asked him about the LASIK surgery again last night. Fitzpatrick was having as much fun as Jameis because Fitzpatrick was Jameis at one time, too. I don't know. It was just a fun atmosphere. I don't find myself cheering for Cleveland Brown football very often, but last night I cracked a smile. That was good stuff. We're going to come back and talk daily fantasy news and strategy for Week 12. Thanks for joining us on the Fantasy Football Foursome. We're back on the Fantasy Football Foursome, and it's time to talk daily fantasy news and strategy for Week 12. And let's start with quarterbacks, Lyle.
Well, I'm going to get back on that Anthony Richardson bandwagon after a solid game for him against the Jets last week. He's up to 5,600 on DraftKings. But I just feel like Richardson has endeared himself somehow back to the Colts locker room, and looks like he's got this team headed in a little bit better direction. Whether they're going to make the playoffs in real life or not, I'm not so sure about that. But in fantasy football, I think Richardson's going to have a solid game this week.
Jack.
Well, I'm going Justin Herbert all the way. 13-1 touchdown interception ratio. No less than 18 fantasy points in his last five games. Cincinnati, Tennessee, at Cleveland, New Orleans, and at Arizona. Baltimore defense is no better than any of those, if not way worse than those when it comes to the pass. So for $5,400, Monday Night Football, Baltimore going to L.A., I like Herbert all day long.
I love the Richardson call that Lyle made. He's going to be in lineups for me, probably stacked with Downs. If you got to spend less money, I like Drake May. The guy is playing 3.5 quarters of good football and then kind of screws it up at the end, but he's doing so well in the 3.5 quarters. People are feeling good about Drake May. He can get it done with his legs. If I have more money than I know what to do with, I'm going to go on the other side of that Detroit Indy matchup and go with Jared Goff. Oh boy, what he did last week, and Indy's defense is, he can shred them. And Dan Campbell, certainly not afraid to put some points on the board. I don't mind Jared Goff, and I hope I have enough money to stack him with another guy coming up. How about running backs? What do you got, Jack?
Well, I'll give you the two I'm running with this week. Spent a little money. I'm going with some Achane in Miami, New England, coming to them, talking about that matchup. They do make a couple turnover mistakes. I think Achane's going to get a rushing touchdown and maybe a receiving touchdown. He's been pretty good in the receiving game as well coming through here. So $7,500, but he's getting 17 fantasy points per game. And again, New England ranks 22nd. And then I'm saving money, $5,600, and going with some Brian Robinson Jr., Dallas going to Washington, taking my running backs at their home games against opponents that I like to see them go against. And I think Robinson and Eckler have a good game.
Yeah, I like the Robinson call. Lyle.
Yeah, Robinson's on my list. I would actually spend up and get Saquon Barkley in my lineup if you can make room for him at $8,200. But I'm going to pick Bucky Irving as maybe a more budgety-oriented player. He's at $5,300. I think he's six out of his last 8 weeks. had double-digit fantasy point production. And I think I know Mike Evans is coming back perhaps this week for Tampa Bay, but Irving has definitely been a pretty big part of that offense with or without him.
Well, we got a quarterback change in New York, and what does that normally mean? A lot of relying on your running backs, and that is Tyrone Tracy. He is a former wide receiver, converted to running back. He can catch the ball. He can run the ball. He has taken over that job from Devin Singletary, and I like the matchup with Tampa Bay. I like that. I think they're just going to have to rely on him for most of the game. I think the Giants are tanking. So I think Tracy gets a lot of work for $6,000 in what is a good matchup, and I think he could easily triple that in this game. And I know that's a lot to say about the quarterback change, but I think it could happen. What do we got for wide receivers? Yeah, yeah.
I also threw White from Tampa Bay in my flex at 5,400 because, yeah, I think him or Irving, one of them is going to have a really good game. Mm-hmm. So I went on the other side and went with Rashid White.
Yeah, I hear you on that. How about wide receivers, Lyle?
Well, again, I went with Richardson, so I'm stacking him with Josh Downs. As you had mentioned, he's at $6,200. I like him. I like Puka Nacua at $7,100. Just been a pretty, when he plays, again, been a pretty steady fantasy performer. And if I'm going to save maybe a more of a mid-round play, I do like Calvin Ridley, $5,700. I think it's mostly just a volume play because he's been targeted, I think, 8 or more times, like I think the last 6 games. So I like Ridley at 5,700.
Yeah, Jack.
So I'm going to stack my guy Herbert with Quentin Johnston. You know, a touchdown in his last 3 games, and again against Cleveland, Tennessee, and Cincinnati. Cleveland and Tennessee actually have pretty good secondaries. Not too bad. Tennessee's is certainly a better, but you can get him for $4,900. And again, I'm stacking him with Herbert. Then I spent my money on ASB because I do want some of that Detroit Indy action. And then on the cheap side, $3,600 with Kendrick Bourne, New England at Miami. Mm-hmm. I kind of went with a weather game there with having Achane in on the other side. So, but Bourne has had a couple of good games strung together, and it seems like each week they pick a different flavor of receiver, DeMario Douglas or him or Booty. So this week I'm going Kendrick Bourne.
Yeah, I stacked last week with Booty, and that didn't go very well at all. But you're right. It's just a different flavor every week. Who is he going to get the connection with? My guys are all mid-tier. If the Purdy injury is not such a big deal, you can pick up Juwan Jennings for $5,600 in what could be a real shootout with Green Bay over the weekend. GPP play, I love this guy, is Jameson Williams, Detroit Indy. I'm picking on that game again. He's $6,000, and he could be good, you know, as we say, it seems like every week, you know, 3 catches, 174 yards, the old Marquez Valdez-Scantling stat line. I like the call with Josh Downs. If I my big guy that I think I'm going to play this week is DK Metcalf at $6,600 against Arizona. Geno Smith is slinging the ball all over the place, and Arizona's pass defense is not good at all. DK Metcalf is just a crazy athlete. Let's go back to tight ends, Jack. What do you got?
Yeah, I like the DK Metcalf. Plus, Jackson Smith and Jigba just had a couple of big games on the receiving end, and I think a lot of times DK will voice like, hey, spread that ball around.
Metcalf or Tyler Lockett is all but phased out of that team now.
Yeah, he's pretty much gone. But so I'm spending money just going Kelsey at Carolina. And because Gray had 2 touchdown receptions last week, again, I think it's one of those things where they try to spread it around a little bit. And the Chiefs still don't have a lot of like offensive weapons that are really fully clicking. I don't know that Kelsey plays all 4 quarters, but I do like him to have one big long play of 30 yards or more for a touchdown. And at $5,800, I'll take the guarantee.
Mm-hmm. Lyle?
He was at the top of my list as well. It's $5,800. That's the lowest he's had all year as far as his value. So that's part of why I like him. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to plan on Jonnu Smith scoring a touchdown every week because that's apparently what he's going to keep doing as long as Tua's in the lineup. So I also like him at $4,100.
Yeah, I saw that Jonnu was down there. If you want to take a chance, Laporta is back. He's $4,300. Great matchup. Again, we just keep saying great matchup in this game, but $4,300, maybe this is where he breaks out. More than likely for me, it's Zach Ertz, who just kind of quietly keeps getting it done. $3,800 up against Cowboys, who are an embarrassment to the NFL. We could do an hour-long podcast just about how rotten that team is and how happy people are about it. How about defenses, Lyle?
Well, I originally had the Chargers written down, $2,700, even though they are playing the Ravens. Chargers have actually had a very good defense all year. But knowing some of these injuries, I might switch to Packers, $2,800. They get a home game against a banged-up San Francisco squad.
Yeah, for sure. Jack?
Well, before I give you defense real quick, John, sorry to go back, but for tight ends, I say don't sleep on Schoonmaker at $2,500 because, I mean, he's probably going to get 10 targets. All right, so for defense, I did start the Steelers defense already, but if not, I 100% would just spend the money on Denver. I mean, the Broncos at Vegas, the Broncos are just killing it on defense. It doesn't matter how much they cost. Just get them in your lineup. Drop somebody else and get them in there.
Yeah, Denver was my play, too, at $3,200. If you have some extra to spend, Chiefs are taking on Bryce Young. Oh, that could be some kind of bloodletting.
Hey, coming off back-to-back wins for the first time in his career.
Yeah, against two pretty crappy teams, if we're being honest. I don't know. I think they're going to have him spun around sideways and everything else. I think this is gonna, that's going to be something for Bryce Young.
They're getting out-coached already. Game hasn't started.
Right, and the game hasn't even started yet. All right. Well, hey, pizza and football, always a winning combination as far as we're concerned here. Does it make you feel good to shop local, especially now with the holidays coming around? Well, stop by or dial up Giovanni's Pizza. Enjoy the game even more. It's locally owned and operated, and Giovanni's uses fresh ingredients. They have take and bake options. You can have them ready for the games tomorrow. They've got pizza, wings, pasta, wraps, salad, everything you could want. Delivery, dine-in, take and bake, and that's you just couldn't ask for more. Call Giovanni's Pizza in Wilmer now. Take a break from cooking. It's 235-5555 or online at giovannisofwilmer.com. We'll come back with the United States Marine Corps Waiver Wire Warriors. It's the Fantasy Football Foursome on the Loose. We're back on the Fantasy Football Foursome. Thanks, as always, for joining us. Time for the United States Marine Corps Waiver Wire Warriors. Thin pickings out there again this week, but that tends to happen this time of year. But with six teams on bye, you may have to start some of these guys. Quarterbacks, Lyle.
Well, we usually set the bar at about 50%, give or take, if they're available. These are the guys you should make sure you're checking for sure. Tua's out there. I think he's around 45% of leagues available. And Anthony Richardson's available in half of leagues as well. But if you're going to go real deep, and I'm not going to try to take everybody for Jack, but it looks like Drake May. He's available in 80% of leagues. He's not been dynamic by any means, but he's serviceable and could get you 15 fantasy points in a pinch.
For sure. What do you got, Jack?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, Drake May's really the only one that's worth picking up that's got any kind of availability on the roster. I mean, Caleb Williams is available. And, you know, I don't know if you've got Purdy and you're afraid he might not play, but I think Caleb Williams is his floor is so low, you know. And so as you're approaching the fantasy playoffs, can you afford a quarterback that might get you 18 or 20, but could get you five? So, you know, to me, it's Drake May all the way. If you can't get Drake May, I guess then you got to start ranking these guys. I would rather start Bryce Young. I would rather start Tommy Cutlets over like a Caleb Williams. Heading into the playoffs here.
Matthew Stafford's on there, available in 70% of leagues, but he's got a tough matchup this week against Philadelphia. You may just not have a choice in that one. Jameis Winston, after his Thursday night performance, he's available in 90% of leagues, but he might be a good stash because we got another big bye week coming up in a couple weeks. So you might want to pick him up. What is interesting to me, though, fellas, is looking over at the most dropped players. Deshaun Watson is still rostered in 7.4% of leagues. I hope, if you're listening, that you're not one of those leagues. Daniel Jones rostered in 9% of leagues. What are you doing keeping him? There are so many better options than that. Even Aaron Rodgers, some of these guys, I guess, you know, there's probably plenty of free fantasy football leagues out there where people just don't care. That's the only thing I can think of. Anything on the running back side of things, Lyle?
It's very slim pickings. Most of the guys I'm looking at are definitely going to be just still handcuffs. We did talk about Vegas. Amir Abdullah could be a pickup, especially at PPR. if you're in a deeper league. Otherwise, I'm looking at the big handcuffs, Justice Hill, Gus Edwards, and the like. They're available in about 75% of leagues.
Yeah, I hear you on that. Hill is banged up. This might be a time to look at Keaton Mitchell, too. But, Jack, what do you got?
Yeah, so I think someone you could pick up, like if you're me, this guy's an RB1. If you're John, he's probably droppable. But Trey Benson in Arizona has been getting a little more work. Double-digit fantasy points last 2 weeks against Chicago and the Jets. A couple of larger defensive lines. Just coming off the bye week at Seattle, at Minnesota, and then Seattle, New England, and then finishes with at Carolina week 16, you know, heading into the playoffs. And I think that he's serviceable, sexy flex. I think he's going to get more and more carries as they transition a little bit out of James Conner. And, you know, Conner, I'm surprised he's still healthy. You know, we all thought he would be injured by now. So I think he should be owned in every league, and the guy's available in 73%. So
yeah, he's going to step right into a full workload if Connor gets injured. I like Connor in DFS as well. Just again, if you're guaranteed 19 touches, you got to figure out how to get that guy in your lineup. No, I like what the fellas said. The only other one I can think of is Roschon Johnson. Swift is hurt. I don't know what's going to happen there. But again, you know, if maybe you're 7-4, maybe you're 8-3 or something like that, that's when you got to have these Bensons and Cam Akers. Clearly, he would step right in if Aaron Jones gets knocked down. And you probably have space on your bench for these guys. So try and bring a little strategy into your end-of-season fantasy football. How about wide receivers, Jack?
Well, there's a lot of meat on the bones, and sticking below 50%. I think this is where you start chasing the quarterbacks you like, the Bo Nix and the Drake Mays, the guys that are actually making a couple of plays here. But I'll give you one that we've talked about in the past a little bit, and I've picked him up, I think, in most leagues. But good old Nick Westbrook-Akeen. Or Akine, or however you pronounce
Akine.
It. There you go. I mean, all the dude does is have good fantasy weeks. I mean, and again, on my team, he's a WR1. But over the last six games, 5 touchdowns. Against the Chargers, he only put up 6 points, but 22 against Minnesota, 16 against New England, and 11 at Detroit, 9 at Buffalo. So, I mean, those are tough teams to play against, but the game script for Tennessee requires the long ball and trying to get it done. They can't run. There's nowhere really to go. So they've got at Houston, at Washington, then Jacksonville and Cincy, and then at Indy and at Jacksonville again. I like the lineup. I like the player. I like the game set. I think that he's a sexy, flexy value, low WR2 for the rest of the season. And he's available in your league, unless you're with me, 94% availability, John. 94.
Wow. Wide receivers.
There's a couple in the 50% range, 40% range. Quentin Johnston, Christian Watson, those are guys to pick up, especially in this bye week situation. A little deeper, New England guy, DeMario Douglas. I think he's available in 70% of leagues. It's more of a PPR play because he is getting, you know, his 6 to 8, maybe even 10 targets. But I do like Douglas in probably a higher scoring game this week down in Miami.
Well, I'm surprised I'm going to say this. I'm just not even certain why, other than if you're looking for guys who will just catch the ball and get you some solid, if you're looking for 10 points, I think all three of these guys can do that. Xavier Leggett in Carolina, he is the clear number one there. Then you've got Adam Thielen, who is coming back, and he'll be the slot guy. He's the guy who always gets open. He's available in 75% of leagues. And the last guy is a guy who just kind of goes under the radar, and he's available in your league, and he's Devon Vele from Denver. He's their slot guy. Mm. He's just a steady Eddie, 10 points a game. Don't expect 20, and don't expect 5. He just is a 10-point-a-game guy, and if you need 10 points and you're struggling with the buys this week, I think he's a plug-and-play guy. I mean, we talked off-air about this. Denver is a real-life football team. They're doing all right. Tight ends, back to you, Lyle.
Well, if I'd have just listened to my own advice and played Will Disley in the Loon League, I would have an extra win. I'd be 6-5 instead of 5-6. Guys like Will Disley, when you need 10 points, take Will Disley, right? He's available in about two-thirds of leagues. If you're going real deep, I think I think the one player to pick up just for this week is Luke Schoonmaker for the Dallas Cowboys, just because they're so beat up, and he's available in over 90% of leagues.
Jack.
Schoonman. Yep, pick up the Schoonmaker. I think that 10 targets, and again, look at the game script, man. Dallas is going to be behind. You need a tight end. I think that's the way to go. The other way might be looking at Theo Johnson with the Giants, again, because of game script. And Tommy Cutlett's coming in. I think it's easy and safe to say rookie quarterback, inexperienced quarterback, they go to the relief valve, but they do. So I think Johnson, they got Tampa Bay, Dallas, New Orleans, Baltimore, Atlanta, and Dallas's lineup is pretty sweet too for game script and just having to dump the ball off. So those guys are available in 90%+ of leagues.
I was a little surprised when I saw some of these current percentage ownerships, but I forget not everybody is in tight end mandatory start leagues. I'm with you both on Schoonmaker. I like that call. I know he's on a bye this week, but Taysom Hill still available in 47% of leagues. Tight end is kind of back, guys. And I side note, off air one episode, Justin Havemeyer from this show said Noah Gray looks like he's been licking telephone poles. And when I'm looking on when I'm looking on this roster, I can't help but think about that when I look at Noah Gray. I am not telling you to pick him up. Let's run through defenses. Go ahead, Jack.
All right. Well, the Chargers defense is balled out all year, and they're available in 56% of leagues. They're ranked fifth on ESPN, fantasy football apps here. So they've got Baltimore this week, so that's a little tough. But then they've got at Atlanta. That's a great matchup. They've got at Kansas City. Nothing to be afraid of. Kansas City wins games by scoring 18 points. So you can still start the Chargers against Kansas City. Then Tampa Bay and Denver come to them. Which I like both those teams better than Kansas and Atlanta. But I think the Chargers are one you could just plug in and just let it run through the end of the year. New England and Las Vegas as you go into week 18. So good matchups.
Lyle.
I think Miami, unfortunately, is being picked up by a lot of people over the last couple weeks. They're up to, I think, 2/3 of leagues where they're owned. Tampa Bay is available in half of leagues, and they get the Giants this week. So I think Tampa would be a good 1 week plug and play.
Hey, Lyle, you've got at Giants, at Carolina. Las Vegas coming to them, then they go to the Chargers, then at Dallas and Carolina coming to them. Tampa Bay should win out. They should go 6-0 here at the end of the year, 7-0.
Yeah, if somebody snatched, and you're going to make the fantasy playoffs, and if somebody snatched up Tampa Bay, which I totally agree with that, the Cardinals, as much as I laughed at their defense, and it is laughable, week 15, New England, week 16, Carolina. And if you make it to your fantasy Super Bowl, the Raiders. Or no, the Rams, I'm sorry. But for a two-week play, you could have New England and Carolina, and that's kind of what you shoot for, if you're looking to think ahead of the game a little bit. Well, we've got Trenchum and Benchum for week 12, six games on bye, and we will talk about all the remaining games for week 12. It's the Fantasy Football Foursome on the Loon. We're back on the Fantasy Football Foursome again. If we can help you out in any way, shape, or form, ring us up on that car shopping text line. It's 320-235-9094, and it's time for Trenchum and Benchum. Thank you, NFL, for a six-team bye on week 12 and another one on week 14. On bye this week, Atlanta, Buffalo, Cincinnati, Jacksonville, New Orleans, and the Jets. Doesn't leave a lot of games to go. Hey, Kansas City, Carolina, we'll kick it off with you, Jack.
Yeah, so Pacheco's still on IR, so not back.
No, I think he is back this week.
No, he's out. He's not going to play. He's,
oh, really?
He's, they're not going to suit him up. Nope. Okay. He may be healthy enough to do it, but they're not bringing him back against Carolina. It'd be a terrible management decision anyways. Mm-hmm. Give the dude a week off. Jeez, I'd bench Mahomes this week if I was Andy Reid. But anyways, you're going to throw Mahomes in the trenches, Kareem Hunt, Travis Kelce, D-Hop. I think Xavier Worthy is back in sexy, flexy, low NWR2 range. That Chiefs defense is good. Samaje Perine in a flex or in a cheap flex DFS play. Noah Gray seemed to me to be an aberration. There's no way I'd have him in my lineup. And then when you're 3-8 like I am and you only score 55 points, sometimes you got to throw a dart, and my dart is named Juju Smith-Schuster, so I'm going to put him in the flex and hope that the guy has like a 20-point game. I doubt that he will, but I have no choice. Carolina Panthers, honestly, I don't think you need to start anyone in Carolina, and I'm being dead sincere. You know, Leggett and Thielen are good wide receivers in the sexy, flexy, low WR2 range. Hubbard is an RB2 at best, but Young and the defense and everyone else is on the bench. This should be an easy Kansas City win. Take the over. They cover. This should be easy.
Kansas City favored by 10.5 points. Minnesota and Chicago, Lyle.
Yeah, I think they're only set to, predicted to score 39.5 points in this game, which is a little low. Not always the best for fantasy, but I think you still got a lot of guys to put in the trenches, including, I think, Sam Darnold. He's quarterback 11 for the season. With all the bye weeks, I think you're going to be hard-pressed to find 11 better than Darnold this week. So put him in. I think you got to keep playing Aaron Jones. The volume is there, but the production's down. He might be a little banged up from that rib injury 2 weeks ago. I still think you put him in as an RB2. Justin Jefferson's a must-start every week. Jordan Addison's a tougher decision. I would say, especially in a deeper league or especially a PPR league, I think I might go with Jordan Addison as a sexy flexi this week. And I do think Hockenson, even though he had a subpar week last week, I think you got to trust him as a top 12 option, as well as that Viking defense, suiting all those guys up. As for the Bears, I think there's just two plays. One is DeAndre Swift. If he is suiting up with that groin injury, make sure he's in the lineup and active. I think he's a safe RB2 if he does. If not, Roshan Johnson would be a nice play as a guy you could scoop up maybe now or even on game day. And then it just, for me, comes down to Rome Odunze or DJ Moore. I'm a DJ Moore owner, so I'm forced to play him this week. But I think I actually like Rome Odunze a bit more, so I'd play him over DJ Moore if I had a choice.
I think Caleb Williams will be running for his life in this game. Oh, man. Minnesota only favored, though, by 3.5 points. Probably because they're on the road. Looked like the weather was supposed to be okay. Anyway, enough about that. I get to break down Tennessee versus Houston. Well, back in the day, it was fun to play a little music for our man, Billy Jeans. We're done with that because he's awful. They're gonna run the season out with Billy Jeans, Will Levis, to see what they've got for the future. You can play Tony Pollard. He's an RB2 or a flex. Calvin Ridley, though, coming on a little bit. Seems to be clearly the number one target with Hopkins gone. Calvin Ridley's a WR2 or a flex. And then, hey, when Jack was talking about throwing darts, you know, Nick Westbrook, Akine, six teams on bye, lots of wide receivers on those teams out. Why not throw him in as a flex? Chigakwankwo, we'll just leave him on the bench. You know, Tennessee quietly has a pretty good pass defense, but I'm not playing them because I think Stroud and the gang come around. Houston Texans, yeah, you're starting Stroud. Joe Mixon is just a bulldozer. What a great pick he was. He's not on any of my teams. I tend to steer clear from Joe Mixon. Well, that was not a good decision this year. He's a RB1, the RB1. Nico Collins, run him out as a WR1. Tank Dell is a flex. Dalton Schultz is a throw-your-hands-up tight end play, but only in a tight end mandatory league, and that is it. Houston favored by 7.5 points. Jack, back to you. Detroit, Indy, this will be fun.
I just want to point out that you missed saying that your boy Billy Jeans is not your lover.
Oh, thank you. Next time.
Yeah. He's just a quarterback who thought he was a QB1.
Right.
we could redo the whole song. All right, I'll keep this simple. If they're wearing a Detroit jersey, get him in the game. The only question mark I would have is Laporta, but that's only because he's been so inconsistent, but that's all tight ends in Detroit. There's so many offensive weapons, but everyone else is a one in their position all the way down to Williams. I mean, the guy catches big, big play throws, and I think he's going to just ball out this week too. On to the Indy side of the ball. So here's the state of Jack's Loon League team. I am starting two, not one, but two wide receivers from Indianapolis, and neither of them are named Josh Downs. So you can get Richardson in there in the trenches. Jonathan Taylor is an RB2, RB1, RB2. He's inconsistent. That's why he's maybe an RB2. Downs is in there. I've got Pittman and Pierce that I'm putting in. I'm benching the Colts defense, not starting them. And that's as far down the line as I really want to go on the Indy side. Couple of good plays there, but I'm hoping for garbage time, or I'm hoping for hey, we've got to make a big play, and they get that 170-yard touchdown, and I can finally have a double-digit wide receiver. That's my prayer.
I'm hoping that they turn A.D. Mitchell into a thing at some point. Detroit favored by 7.5 points on the road. Lyle, you get New England and Miami.
Yeah, there's a few fantasy plays in here, but I'm not starting with Drake May. As much as he's had a pretty solid rookie season out fantasy purposes, he's still on my bench. Ramondre Stevenson, solid RB2. So I think three of the last four games he's had quality outings. I think that will continue. He's just going to get his 20 touches and produce for you. I like Hunter Henry in a tight end mandatory league. I think he's definitely a top 10, top 12 option. Then it pretty much comes down to the receivers. None of them have been overly impressive. I like DeMario Douglas this week as a flex over Keyshawn Booty and Kendrick Bourne. As for Miami, you're definitely starting Devon Achane. Tyreek Hill has started to figure out at least a couple ways to get into the end zone, which is salvaging some of his fantasy value. So you're suiting him up. I think you're even playing Tua this week. I just like the matchup against New England. I like Janu Smith at tight end. I think he's a must-start as well. But I'm benching Jalen Waddle and any of the other running backs like Mostert and Jalen Wright. I will play that Miami defense, however. They're a good pickup in all formats.
Mm. Jalen Waddle. What could have been? And Tyreek Hill's got a wrist that needs surgery, and they still can't get the ball to Waddle. Miami favored by 7.5 points. I get to break down Tampa Bay and the New York Giants. Tampa Bay, I want to say back at full strength. They aren't. Chris Godwin still out, certainly. But I think the return of Mike Evans is going to be a real nice renaissance for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They can get things back up and running. I don't mind Baker Mayfield this week against a Giants defense. Rashad White and Bucky Irving, if you're in a PPR format, Rashad White is fantastic to have. Again, a steady Eddie type of guy. Bucky Irving, probably the better, well, certainly the better ground guy, and I think he's startable. We talked about him earlier. Mike Evans back finally from his injury. I think he's a WR1 this week. He's been practicing in full, but I think that's where it stops for me. Oh, Kate Otten, who has had some really nice weeks for you if you are managing him. Now, over to the Giants side. Well, you know, we didn't bring it up with Billy Jeans, but we got a new quarterback. And his name is Tommy DeVito. Or, as we lovingly call him, Tommy Cutlets. You're going to see plenty of DeVito jerseys in this crowd in New York. He is a cult favorite. And that is, I don't know why, I mean, really, there's only one start on this team, and that is Tyrone Tracy. But I just thought I'd throw that out there. Tommy DeVito getting the start and get a little Sopranos theme out there for him. Tyrone Tracy, Malik Nabers. I forgot about that. DeVito will probably be throwing it to Tracy and Nabers, and that is it. I don't see too much more from the Giants. I think they're going to just get smoked. Well,
John, the trade deadline's coming up. This may be a time to look at offloading Nabers.
Mm-hmm.
They could get a chemistry and he could ball out, but man, you really want a part of that Giant squad that's not Tyrone Tracy? To me, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, pre-concussion Nabers one thing, post-concussion another, and now DeVito throwing the ball around. Daniel Jones demoted to the fourth string quarterback. I want to say, though, he had a very classy takeout interview. Tampa Bay favored by 5.5 points. Jack, back to you, Dallas, Washington.
Well, Dallas, a team that would kill for a Daniel Jones, to be honest with you. All right, so on the Dallas side of the ball, I think CeeDee Lamb is still in your lineups, obviously, for who he is. Dowdle, RB2. I think Schoonmaker, for sure, at the tight end spot, get him in there. 10 targets last week. And then, you know, Cooper Rush is not anyone you need to start. I would say if it was like against Carolina, maybe you could look at starting him if you were desperate at QB, because he'll get you 10 to 12. Right. But at Washington, I wouldn't do it. All right. Onto the Washington side of the ball. I'm pretty much starting everybody here. Daniels, Robinson, McLaurin, Ertz, Eckler is the RB2. The defense. And then when it comes to Brown or Zacchaeus, I like Zacchaeus better than Brown. Brown just hasn't lived up to anything, in my opinion. But, you know, Noah Brown, if you need a sexy, flexy play, I guess that could be a deal. Otherwise, I like Washington to dominate this game. So, yeah.
I love, Jack, that because of the status of your Loon League, you are breaking down guys like Olamide Zaccheaus.
Well, you know, and that's the thing. So I read, like, if you go to CeeDee Lamb, it's like, Stefania Bell says Lamb is the only Cowboy worth starting. Yeah, when you're in 8-team leagues with, you know, 3 bench spots, yeah, you could say that. But try being in a competitive 10-team league that's got 7 bench spots, and I promise you, you'll start looking at Schoonmaker and Cooper Rush. I promise you.
I love it. Washington favored by 10.5 points. Lyle, Denver and the Raiders.
Yeah, again, we were talking about this Denver team, and at the beginning of the year, I would never have guessed there was going to be so many fantasy-relevant players. But Bo Nix, the last 7 games, he's averaged 20 fantasy points. So he is in that top 12 realm, and if you've been playing him the last few weeks, congratulations, and don't take him out of the lineup now. Javonte Williams, he's not the sexiest player, but he's getting RB2 value or certainly sexy flexy value, so keep him in your lineup. That means Audric Estime is on your bench for now. I picked him up in a league, and at least I didn't play him last week. But at this point, I think you still just got to wait a little longer to see if he's going to get a bigger share of that role. Cortland Sutton's a must start. I think he's safe low-end wide receiver 2, high-end wide receiver 3. And I'm not going to pick up any of the other guys. I know Vele and Lil Jordan Humphrey and Troy Franklin all got touchdowns, I think, last week. But I think I'm going to keep those guys either on the bench or on the waiver wire. I will, however, have that Broncos D in. And then for Vegas, it's real simple. You're playing Brock Bowers, who's having a sensational year at tight end. So you're playing him. And I think the only other for sure play is Jacoby Myers, and that's in deeper leagues and PPR formats. If you're looking for running backs, you're going to have to wait to see with whether Madison or Zamir White even suit up. In a real deep league, I could maybe make a case for Amir Abdullah as a PPR specialist, but that's about as far as I can go.
26-team league. Amir Abdullah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Denver favored by 6.5.
You guys know all those guys are owned in the Loon League. They're 100% owned. There's zero available.
Ugh, it's something else. I get San Francisco, Green Bay. Well, what do we do here? Because we don't know the status of Brock Purdy until tomorrow morning. And, well, and this is a late afternoon game, so you're going to want to keep an eye on that because, boy, he's not having a great year. Certainly not as good as last year, but it's because he can't throw. His arm hurts. His shoulder hurts. You're starting McCaffrey regardless. Probably have to start Debo. Man, he's had a down year too. And Juwan Jennings, I think, is matchup dependent, or not matchup dependent, quarterback dependent. They have Brandon Allen listed as the second or the backup quarterback and Josh Dobbs third. I don't know if any of that changes, but boy, keep an eye on. And then, yeah, we were talking too. George Kittle's questionable. Trent Williams may not play. This could be something for the 49ers against Green Bay. So I don't know what start him if Purdy plays. Start all of them if Purdy plays, but keep an a close eye out if he doesn't. Over Green Bay Packers, I like Jordan Love this week. You know, he's kind of Jameis Winston light. I heard somebody say he's a mix of Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. He's a slinger, but he's pretty smart, and he's just not afraid, and I like that comparison. Josh Jacobs, he has a questionable tag this week. Keep an eye on that. Otherwise, certainly you're putting him in. I like Romeo Doubs this week. The home run hitter is Christian Watson. Seems to be kind of coming around. Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, who is it going to be this week? I don't know. 49ers have a pretty good pass defense. Tucker Kraft, I don't mind playing him. He's cooled off a little bit, but I don't mind playing him in tight end mandatory formats. Green Bay favored by 1.5, so at this time they must think Purdy is going to play. I don't know. Arizona?
Hey, John, on the Purdy note, you know, if you've got Purdy at 325 and you've got a noon QB like a Sam Darnold or even a Tommy Cutlets on your roster, or Drake May, you might want to slot in that noon. Mm-hmm. I hate the 3:25 kickoff time for questionable tags. And the Niners are the worst. They will keep him questionable until 2:54:59.
Yep, you're exactly right.
You know, don't take the risk. Anyway.
Back to you, Jack, with Arizona taking on Seattle.
Yeah, Arizona, Seattle. So it should be a pretty good game. Arizona is one of those quietly decent teams, and Seattle's looking pretty good too. I've got Kyler Murray in the trenches, James Conner, McBride at tight end. Tight end mandatory, or for me, definitely sexy flexy range. Marvin Harrison Jr. has been disappointing overall for fantasy this year for like consistency of production, but he is still the number one look for Kyler Murray. So you've got him in the trenches. Just plan on WR2 level points from him, and then you won't be disappointed. You can roll out that Cardinals defense if you want to against Seattle. Geno does turn the ball over a little. And then Trey Benson should be owned in all formats. He's starting to take a little bit of the share from Connor. But he's certainly the undisputed handcuff, so why he's not fully owned, I'll never know. Onto the Seattle side of the ball, Geno Smith, all he does is just, you know, throw up big chunk yards and keep scoring fantasy points, so I've got him in the trenches. Ken Walker is definitely an RB1. Lyle, enjoy that after our trade. DK Metcalf, Jackson Smith, and Jigba both at WR1 status. Jackson Smith, volume and yardage. DK Metcalf every other week seems to be doing well, so throw him in there this week. Lockett has pretty much become irrelevant. It'd be difficult for me to tell you to start Tyler Lockett. I think you can safely bench him. I'd rather have the dart throws in Indianapolis than Tyler Lockett this week. Charbonnet, another solid handcuff that's got to be owned. And then I don't like Barner at tight end. I just don't like anyone at tight end that's not named Noah Fant. And he looks to still be questionable rolling into the week. So limited plays on Seattle. Fun game to watch. I like Arizona to probably win. I don't see Seattle winning back-to-back in their, you know, against San Fran and Seattle or Arizona.
Rain in the forecast and Arizona favored by 1.5. Brings us to Sunday night football. Lyle, Philadelphia taking on the Rams.
Yeah, lots of fantasy goodness here. You're playing a lot of these guys. You're playing Jalen Hurts. You're playing Saquon Barkley and A.J. Brown. Those are guys that were drafted in the top three or four rounds at the very latest, and you're playing those guys each and every week. The question mark is Devonta Smith. He's had two subpar weeks, and he's questionable with a hamstring injury, so make sure he is active. If he is, he's probably just a wide receiver three at this point. And Dallas Goedert's come back, and pretty much since his return, he's had double-digit fantasy points each and every game, so I think that makes him a top 10 option in tight end mandatory, and maybe even in deeper leagues, just a regular flex play. As for the Rams, I'm not playing Matt Stafford. I know he's had a few decent games, but it's amazing that his fantasy value hasn't been tied so much to the receivers. I like Stafford on the bench. I like Kyren Williams as an obvious RB1. And when you look at Cooper Kupp, he's missed four games and he's still a top 20 receiver. So you're definitely suiting him up, and you're putting Puka Nacua in the trenches as a wide receiver too. I think that's kind of where you draw the line is obvious starts. But if you're in if you're in a touchdown league, DeMarcus Robinson could be a good dart throw. He's had two subpar weeks after he had two consecutive games with two touchdowns. So if you're needing some help in a TD dependent league, I do like DeMarcus Robinson as a dart throw.
Philadelphia favored by 2.5 points. Monday night football. This should be a good one. Baltimore taking on the Chargers in LA. So, the usual suspects, Lamar Jackson, yep, Derrick Henry, for sure. Zay Flowers, quietly, the 10th-ranked fantasy receiver when I just looked him up. I had no idea he was that high. Rashad Bateman is at fantasy wide receiver 28, so he's a WR3. And then the one that my jaw hit the floor was Mark Andrews is tight end 5. I think I got to go back and look at that, but that was according to ESPN stats. Deontay Johnson in 12-team leagues, I believe to be droppable. It's just not what, you know, you hoped for if you were manager of, hey, great, he's going to the Ravens. They're not throwing him the football. It's just not happening. Over to the LA side of things, this is going to be fun too because you can throw on Baltimore. So you're starting Justin Herbert. Then the question becomes, who is he going to throw the ball to? Well, he's not going to throw it to Dobbins, but you got to start Dobbins because he's had a great year. Ladd McConkey's banged up. He's doing all right. Quentin Johnson and Josh Palmer, one of them's going to catch the ball. I don't know who it is. They're probably both flex plays. And then we've talked plenty about Will Disley. I like him as a tight end mandatory start this week. Should be a fun game to watch. Baltimore favored by 3. And that's going to do it for us this week. If you missed any part of today's show, grab that free 94.1 The Loon app or go online to 941theloon.com. If we can help you out in any way, shoot us a text on the Car Shop Inc. text line. It's 320-235-9094. We want to thank our producer, Nate Thomas. We want to thank our sponsor, Giovanni's Pizza of Wilmer. And for Jack and Lyle, my name is John. We will see you next Saturday at 10 on The Loon for the Fantasy Football Foursome.